Have you ever wondered why you have an aversion to a certain food or why you're drawn and attracted to a certain part of the world? Well, maybe it's because of your past lives. Have you ever explored your past lives? Well, today's guest, Ronnie Ann Ryan, is here to share with us her experience of doing readings for people and accessing that information from their soul field, from their guidance, to share with them. And she's here to tell some cool stories. And we hope that you join us to find out more.
Soul Nectar Show. The Soul Nectar Show. You're invited, delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join us on this beautiful journey. Soul Show.
Well, hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Soul Nectar Show, that show where we talk about all things essence, where we gather around the campfire and we share our stories of connection to that which is greater than us, to the big mystery beyond the veil, to those synchronistic moments that lead us inexorably to a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world and each other. And I'm your host, Carrie Hummingbird. I love having these conversations week after week, and opening us up to new perspectives, new ways of thinking about our life's challenges, new ways of dreaming something into being that we really desire, and getting to the root of some of the things that are happening in our lives. Maybe we don't even realize why, and we can find out. This is the time of the Great Awakening, and we are really reconciling a lot of what's come before, because on this podcast, we really roll with the knowing in our bodies that this isn't the only lifetime we've ever been here. And the way that I really roll with that is that I think about how many challenges I've had in this lifetime. And I think to myself, there's no way I could learn all this in one lifetime. So therefore, assuming the universe is really in knowing that and in tune with that, which I think it is, because I think it's infinitely intelligent, it knows there's no way I can learn all this in one lifetime. So I'm pretty sure we have a lot of lifetimes that we come on this planet. And we have different experiences with different names and different bodies and different thumbprints. And this is just the latest one. But in this one, what's unique about it is that we have this opportunity to become aware of so many of our past lives and to integrate anything that was unfinished. And that would help us move forward in this life to have a different experience. And so we're going to talk about integrating past lives in this episode. And I have Ronnie Ann Ryan with us, who is an intuitive coach and a wise woman. And she gets to the heart of the matter quickly, which I know is important for all of us with our fast-paced lives. So it's important to be quick. She offers practical solutions for business and life issues so you can move forward confidently and trust yourself and feel more balanced. She does delve into the Akashic Records to clear past life issues. And she offers soul intelligence method for bioenergetic clearing and balancing. And she also hosts the popular podcast, Breathe, Love, and Magic. And is a best-selling author with 6 books. And so their website will be in the show notes if you want to find out more, intuitiveedge.biz. So welcome, Ronnie. Welcome to the show. It's so good to have you here. And I can't wait for this conversation, see what comes up. So tell us a little bit about yourself. I know I just read your bio, but what else would you like people to know about you?
You know, I like to think of myself as somebody who's looking for the magic. I just love signs, synchronicities, and when things seem to be falling into place or whatever, I'm like, woohoo, you know, that gets me very excited. And I also love that aha moment when you're working with someone or even for yourself or your friends, when you finally go, oh, I get it. I see it. I understand it. You know, that's for me part of the magic for sure.
Now, I love that too. I love when I like the light bulbs over the heads and that you almost see it flickering in the eyes, like, oh. And it's like, I like people's brains blown wide open. Yeah, it's fun that way.
It is fun.
So blow our minds today. You're welcome to do it. What would you like to share with us about your own path? Like, what opened you up to even looking into all these modalities that you've learned and how to open up your intuition? What was the impetus behind that?
All right. So I might have been a little ahead of the curve because I quit my corporate job back in 1990.
That's early, yeah.
So I know that's a big thing to do now, but I definitely have been forging my own path for a very long time. So when I left, and I did not fit into that you know, pattern, we'll call it. I just felt like, oh, I'm free. And I started taking a ton of classes. So there was a past life class that was 3 months long. And I thought, I'm so curious. I remember in high school reading at my cousin's house, one of my other cousins was reading A Search for Bridie Murphy, which is a really old book from the 50s about some woman who was being hypnotized and ended up back in an Irish life. And I was so fascinated all the way back in high school. So anyway, I thought, oh, a 3-month class on past lives. That sounds fabulous. And it was. One of the best things about it was that there were 6 of us and the teacher. And so every time we got together every week, we would look at somebody's past lives, but we would do it together. This is why I love group work, because it amplifies the energy in such a way, and it provides confirmation because you will often see what other people see, and then it helps you really trust what's coming in intuitively. So one person would be picked and we would work on whatever was going on for them. And, you know, it started with me seeing, I had been studying intuition and stuff, but I hadn't really broken through completely, but I was seeing some symbols. But over time, I started hearing things and, you know, different methods. Sometimes I just knew something. So all of the clairs started kicking in. But it was really that training. I ended up staying with the group for a year. That was an incredible opportunity in training where I just learned so much. And then I realized that when you can look backwards, you can look forwards, or you can look at the present, and it's all the same. So that was really how I got to be where I am today.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. Integrating past lives. I remember I found out about past lives. I read a book called Past Lives, and I can't remember the name of the author, but a lot of people know who that is. It's not coming to me right now. But
there's so many, you know?
I mean, it was amazing. He was a psychologist, and he just decided, like, he ran into this client that had all these issues and couldn't figure
out. Brian Weiss?
Brian Weiss. And he couldn't figure out what was wrong with her, right? Like, it wasn't making any sense because it was so illogical. And then he started realizing it because it has to do with these past lives. So there's so much that comes up. So give people, I know that people have some experience of past lives on this podcast. Or what are some of the keys that you can really realize that something you're going through is probably not from this lifetime? Like, what are some of the hallmarks?
That's a good question. Well, if you have an irrational fear that has no foundation in this life, there's a good sign. If you have an aversion to something, that's another good sign. Look, so I'll give you some actual examples from my life. I had a pomegranate for the first time at some point, and I loved the flavor. But afterwards, I got completely freaked out by all those little seeds. I have no idea what that's about. You'll never catch me eating a pomegranate, but I will drink the juice. It makes no sense. You know, I lived some life in Persia where the pomegranates grew, and I did not have a good time there, you know? So it's simple things like that that can give you those clues, but there's so many clues to think about your past lives. You might think about what periods of history fascinate you, or, you know, historical novels or movies have you seen that you just were enthralled with and loved. Like, my favorite movie of all time is Dangerous Beauty, which is about the courtesan Veronica Franco in Venice in the 1500s. Like, what a movie, just so magnificent. But I just want to be there. I want to, like, I know I was there. And, you know, just things like that. It could be food, cuisine, and things, or music. There's a record label called Nonesuch that plays really old English music, you know, like Greensleeves, like really old stuff. I'm like, I love that stuff. I spent a lot of time in the British Isles for sure. So there's so many clues, you know, so many different things you can look at and go, oh, yeah. Or if you have skills that you have no idea where you got them from, that's another one.
Yeah, that's speaking to me actually quite a bit. Sometimes, like, I became aware of a past life where I lived on the Trail of Tears. I was a Cherokee medicine person. And that opened up for me because I just had this spontaneous soul retrieval. I was asking for it. Like, I felt like something was missing. And I feel like soul retrieval and past lives are so integrated. We might as well talk about those two things together. But I felt like something was missing. And I kept going to the Cherokee Nation. I kept going to the Smoky Mountains, trying to, like, figure, you know, devastated, like, something's missing. And the connection is here somehow. And I don't know how to get it. And the first year I went, nobody could help me. I was asking for a Cherokee, you know, shaman or somebody, you know, to help me. And nobody was like, oh, we don't know, you know, tourist, you know, get out of here. And, you know, and then the, and then 2 years later, I went and there was just happened to be somebody who could help me that was just there for the day, you know? So one of those things.
Nice.
Yeah. But like he kind of just flung that soul part into the back of my head. You know, there's like a portal at the back of your head where it meets your spine, like where that's your ancestral portal. And so this energy just kind of came and just took over, that sort of spread. And I was dizzy and really disoriented. I had to sit down. My kids were with me. They're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I don't think so. I don't know what's going on." And I couldn't even think. And all of a sudden I could see the trees breathing and this other stuff going on. And that catalyzed about 6 or 7 years of integrating this other lifetime, like started having memories of it, dreaming about it, feeling like I was there, like really feeling like I had just been there like last week, just like that. It was really intense.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that was, turns out in my healing work, what I came to is that was my ancestor, but it was also me. So, you know, these things overlap, right? Like sometimes we show up in the same family DNA, you know, several generations later. So talk about that a little bit. Like that's interesting to me because I've experienced it. It's fascinating. And I did learn a lot from that aspect of me. So my healing work that I do today is directly relevant from everything I learned from that aspect of me from the other life, because he knew a lot of stuff about healing, right?
Sure. So it's only recently come to my attention what you're talking about, that you could be your own ancestor.
It's fascinating.
I read about it in a book, I can't even remember the name, where the woman was very connected to Woodstock, New York, and she realized that she had been there through the Revolutionary War, and she had been there many, many times. Now, I had encountered that people will often go to the same place over and over because I've done so many past life readings, and I'm like, I don't understand, like, why do they stay, you know, they're in this similar place. And I've talked to other past life readers, and what they say is what I thought. So we all came to an agreement that sometimes when you're trying to learn stuff, it's just easier to not have to learn a whole new culture, a whole new this, a whole new that. So you just keep going back to a similar place so you can kind of start your life and you go, oh yeah, I've been here before. You don't have to think about what's it like to be in Woodstock, New York or wherever you were. And then you can just focus on the stuff you want to focus on rather than hop, skip, and jumping all over the place all the time. So I think there's sometimes repetitive visits to similar places so that you can not have to deal with that and just focus on whatever the challenges are that you chose. But it just recently came to my attention that you could be your own ancestor. And that's, and so when you're talking about all, you know, everybody's so hot on this ancestral clearing right now, you could still very well be clearing for yourself.
Yeah, it could just be your stuff. I've actually, because I had such an interesting experience with that soul retrieval, that it was kind of like a walk-in in a way, but not a full walk-in. It was just like a distinct consciousness from the other life with Carrie in here at the same time. And then we would have conversations, you know, like be able to converse between these two aspects, not like in depth, but like enough to get the information and enough for that I could sense like, okay, that is that part. Okay, this is me in this lifetime. That is the other. So like discerning that is also really interesting, and keeping it all straight so that you're functional is also a really interesting challenge, you know,
but functional is important.
Yeah. And that there's like one human being presented to everybody on the outside, you know, but like, I know that this is going on. I mean, because why would I be so devastated? I didn't experience that. That's not, you know, Carrie didn't experience any of that.
Right.
But it was like deeply personal, like really very wounding, very, you know, as you can imagine, super traumatic. But I don't react that same way to, let's say, World War II and all the terrible things that happened there. Like, I don't have that same heartbreak. I do think it's heartbreaking, but in my body, I don't have that same heartbreak. Yeah. But I do about the Trail of Tears. You bring that up, like, I'm feeling it, you know? Like, yeah. So I think it's interesting that, yeah, I picked a lineage where I was already in the DNA. And then we merged with Celtic people. My ancestor told me in my head in many contemplations, like, the Cherokee marry their enemies, because if that's the only way to heal anything is to make them your family.
Wow.
So we marry our enemies and we become friends. And
progressive, you know, very progressive.
That's how you make peace. So I know that that's what happened. But it's kind of interesting, the journey, isn't it? Like the journey I'm describing for people that they may not be familiar with. If you're just coming to this kind of idea about past lives, it might seem really crazy or loco, like, oh my God. But that's kind of like this, the only way to substantiate it isn't through some external source or like some teaching or whatever. Like it's your own exploration. That's what makes it kind of interesting and personal, right?
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of my past lives and I have gotten around the world. I have to say, like, I know that I was in China. I was in Japan. There's like no question to me. I spent a lot of time in the British Isles. I was a slave at the time of Moses in Egypt, you know, so I've been around for a while too. So I've kind of been a little everywhere. And the very first thing I got about a past life was a Native American past life where I was murdered. So that was fun as my first vision. That was unbelievable. But I knew who they were in this life.
How is that possible?
I recognized them, even though they didn't look anything like they do in this life. There was no question in my mind who they were. I knew who they were, even though they looked different. And so I had this situation. This is so silly, but when I was in eighth grade, my best friend and I were crazy about the same boy. Yeah. And so he went with her after saying he wouldn't choose. Okay. And so I was devastated by that in eighth grade. Let me tell you, that left a big mark on me. But when I saw the past life, she and I were male and he was the woman in that case. So I don't know how to say this without confusing anybody about the pronouns, but she ended up killing me to get him. And I thought, well, in this lifetime, we didn't kill each other. So we're making progress.
Yeah. We went through the scenario, but we didn't kill each other. Yay. And we resolved it a different way. Yeah.
Yeah. I embarrassed the hell out of her in art class, but she lived through that and there were no knives.
So we're getting better with our human consciousness, sorting out these things.
That's
and
what
do
I
you do you think these awarenesses come to make you more aware or present to the soul agreements or the past challenges that are recurring now so that they come up for healing? Like these past life remembrances, is that to support us in resolving present day challenges?
That's such an interesting question. Yes, I think that some people see them and some people don't, because it depends on what you need and everybody's very unique. Clearly, I needed to see a lot of my past lives because I have seen so many of them. And of course, it reminds me of Shirley MacLaine when she wrote Dancing in the Light. And was that in the 80s? And she went through a ton of her past lives. She had a ton of past life work done. And I was just fascinated by all of those things. So I really wanted to see mine. But I think that some of them are healing. Some of them are interesting. Some of them are explained some of the skill sets I have. Like when I was in high school, I did a lot of calligraphy and I did a lot of people's wedding invitations as a job. I did calligraphy for them. And I'm like, where did I even learn that? You know? Well, yeah, I was a monk and I did many illuminated books, Bibles, like in the, you know, 10, 11, 1200s or whatever. I got really good at calligraphy. So I think that some of it for me is fun, but I think it also shows me where I got my skills, what has made me who I am as a soul. So I think there's a lot of learning there if that appeals.
You know, what's interesting is that you're talking about how in your life, you've been given access to all of this information about all of your past lives. And then I appreciated that you said we're all unique, because you guys, if you're not getting that, you could just be like me. Like, I mean, I know I had a dramatic experience of it, but before that happened, I didn't have any knowledge of it. And I remember my dad had this amazing experience where he went to some workshop where this woman was speaking to an auditorium of people and she was psychic and she knew that he, you know, that he was, and he wasn't raising his hand to say, yeah, I heard what you said in your head, you know? And she stared right at him and looked at him and said, I know that you heard what I heard, what I said. So like, well, that's crazy, right?
That is crazy.
He had all these experiences in the 70s and I wanted to replicate that. So I went to go see like one of these people that, you know, past life regressionist. And I got nothing. I literally laid there, and I'm a visual artist. I saw nothing.
Wow.
I just saw darkness. And I was like, this is not fair. So I got really mad, Ronnie. And I went to the gym afterwards and I was riding my bike. This is before I woke up. I was just really, I wanted to wake up so bad, you know, and I was like, knew there was something important in there. And I was riding my bike and I was like, I'm going to like see who Oprah recommends for past life healings, because obviously that person doesn't know anything. And they suck. And they're not doing it right. So I'm going to find the best by looking at Oprah. And I was like And then all of a sudden, this voice, this masculine voice, boomed literally like a loudspeaker in my head and said, "You have a life, live it."
Huh. What does that mean? Just like pay attention to what you're doing now?
I was like, okay, I'm going to drop the whole past life thing.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then 2 years later is when my path started to waking up. And then a couple years after that is when I had the soul retrieval. So it was kind of like, it's not time yet.
Yeah.
Knock it off. You know, like you're getting ahead of yourself, right? Like, because I was about to destroy my life, right? And if I had the past life healing, I might not have done it, you know?
Wow.
So, well, you know.
They say that it's not necessary because everything you need, you have right now. So I don't think people should feel bad if they haven't had any of these experiences. I can also tell you, you do not need hypnosis to see your past lives at all. And personally, everybody has a different way of doing it, looking at it or whatever. I don't think you need to know what happened through birth to death. To me, there was a main lesson that you learned or several main lessons. So when I go to do somebody's past life, I don't tell them step by step by step what happened to them. I don't bother with that because there's a lot of extraneous information that really won't help you. What I tell them is, what's going on in your life now that you think might be from the past? And that's what we go look at to have a better, deeper understanding of why those things are still occurring now so that you can hopefully learn about them or resolve them and move on and learn something else. I mean, that's the whole point of what we're doing is to resolve, you know, whatever the problems are, learn and then continue to grow and learn and expand. So I don't bother with those things. Some people might want that and that's totally fine. It's not bad. It's just that it's not always necessary to get that kind of detail at all. And for example, seeing your death, I don't even know if that's good. I don't know if that's a necessary or good thing to do. Now, I had a woman come to me, and this is one of the stories I always tell, but I had a woman come to me who was young. Maybe she was like 25. She was Japanese because I could see her name on a slip of paper. I was working at psychic fairs back then doing past lives. And so she wanted to know about her most recent past life. And so I saw her as an American sailor at Pearl Harbor and that she had died in the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And that kind of shocked her. But then she said, "Why am I so afraid of fireworks and loud noises?" And I'm like,
the bombings.
And then she was like, "Why am I afraid of drowning them?" You know? And so she started to share some things with me, which all of which was explained by the traumatic death from her most recent past life. That's what I'm trying to say, most recent. So in that case, it was probably helpful to clear up some things for her. But I also thought, what an amazing soul to have been a man, American, died in that attack on Pearl Harbor and came back as a Japanese woman. I was like, oh my gosh, that's like I said, you have an amazing spirit. You know, you're very brave. You're obviously very curious and you've got a lot going for you because that already to me said a lot about who she was.
Yeah. She went to become one of the quote perpetrators to understand that perspective and live it and embody it and feel it rather than staying in one track, you know, which I don't think we don't want to judge anything. I don't want to judge anyone's soul's choices, but that's an interesting thing to do, right? It's kind of like my Cherokee ancestors said, you know, we marry our, you know, our enemies and we become one. So yeah, that's fascinating. So when you see things like, how does your intuition work? Because I know that intuition works really differently for everybody. It sounds like you see visions. Is that what happens for you?
I have such a combination. Sometimes I see things. Sometimes I hear things. Sometimes I know things. Sometimes I feel things. I'm using the four basic clairs and I never know. And it could all be going on at the same time. So I love the visions. That's my favorite, but I don't always get to see that. And sometimes I just channel it. And so I don't even know what's going to get said. I just start talking because I know it's kind of like a siphon. You just get the energy flowing and then the stuff's going to come out. So that's what I do sometimes. You know, if you don't have a lot of time, you don't have time to second guess yourself. You just got to do it. You know what I mean? And that's what I learned at psychic fairs is like, you're getting thrown into the fire. You have 15 minutes. There's no, you know, is this right? I don't know. And you just got to spit the stuff out. It was really good training.
That sounds like good training. Yeah, maybe that's what people should do if they're trying to perfect their psychic skills or their intuitive skills, is go do a booth.
For the week of heart, though.
Every 15 minutes, a new person's story. Yeah, it is hard to, when we've been conditioned to not trust our intuition and we've been conditioned by our training and our schooling and all that to like ignore that and then just focus on the logical brain and what we've been taught and all this kind of stuff. When you start to open up your intuition, it can be challenging, right? Because you have to listen in a new way to yourself and trust the impressions that you've been getting. Have you always trusted your intuition, or did you have to go through a process to open that up for yourself?
I went through a 7-year process.
Okay.
It took me a really long time. I worked very, very hard. And it's so funny because by the time I was ready to start teaching, which I started teaching in the 90s, people were starting to get it really fast. But I think I had made some agreement that I was going to make it hard for myself. And I don't know what I had done, but like, I cannot use tarot cards. And I saw the past life why I can't use tarot cards. So there's a lot of things that I have roadblocks or whatever, and I've had to, you know, push past them or whatever and be diligent and really work hard. But today, people just get it. Like the minute they try, it's amazing how, I mean, in case anybody's struggling, don't worry, you'll get there. But for a lot of people just say, hey, I want to try this, and boom.
So when I you know, I teach healers. So I teach people healing work through the Mesa tradition of the Andes. So in my healing training, one of the things that we learn how to do is to step into the hollow bone, what I call the hollow bone, and like put ourselves aside. You know, it's like, okay, I love you, little Carrie, but you're right here. Like, you get a front row seat to this really cool thing that's about to happen. And then putting myself in the hollow bone, like releasing myself, becoming spirit. And then listening. And then like you're talking about, a lot of times, like, it'll just be this stream of information that comes in. And as soon as I light the tobacco, for me, that's my method, is I'll light the tobacco and I'll start blowing it and it'll just start coming in. It's like this, it's this, it's this, and it's this. And then I'll start asking them, like, do you feel this way? Yes. Oh my God, that's exactly how I feel. Or so that is kind of how I do it. But I liked what you said, because it reminded me of that. It's like, you can't question it. You just have to be courageous. And invite, like, this is what I'm seeing. Does that resonate? Right. And trust yourself. Like, just go ahead and say it. You know, just say the thing.
You have to say it. One time, this was the craziest thing. I was working with this woman and she wanted to know about her history. So when I saw her taming tigers, I'm like, oh, this is so ridiculous. Honestly, I felt stupid, but that's the thing. Just say it, you know? So I said, I see you as a man with your father taming tigers for the Rajas of India. She goes, oh, I love, afterwards, she didn't say a word to, oh, I said all this crazy ass stuff. And then at the end, I said, well, how was that for you? She goes, oh, whenever you said that tiger thing, I couldn't believe it. Whenever I have to pick an animal, I always pick tigers. And then she went all off on all this tiger stuff and told me all the things I was right on the money for. But in the meantime, the whole time I'm doing the reading, she's just sitting there like a stone.
That is so intimidating. You have to trust it, right? And just say it. That's why when my healers start their first sessions, it's just like a really low amount. You know, it's like $35 for half an hour. Because that, you know, most people, $35, you can like, you're going to get whatever you get and you're okay with it. You don't get too upset, you know, but if it was like $1,000, you'd be really mad. So we get these impressions. And sometimes I wonder, Ronnie, I wonder what you think about this. Sometimes I wonder with these impressions that we get as healers or psychics, if they're like symbology, like if they're archetypal symbology that spirit is offering for them right now, that somehow that symbol really speaks deeply to their soul, just because it's like an image or a symbol, not necessarily anything beyond that, but, you know, but it creates a story, right? That we can make sense of it all. What do you think about that? Or do you think like literally they had another lifetime?
Wow. That's another really deep question.
I know, right? I like these questions.
Yeah, you're good. So I have to say, I'm not sure. Part of me wants to think that you're understanding the symbology because you relate to it for a reason, but who knows? Sometimes it's just a symbol to get the point across. And when I first started doing the past lives, I saw a lot of symbols that I didn't understand. So I'd say, well, I see an arrow and it's going through a block of wood. And then we'd have to unravel. What does that mean? And we would get somewhere. We would figure it out. So those were just symbols. It wasn't necessarily a past life, but it had to do with whatever the situation was. So it's possible. I think it probably depends on who the person is and how spirit knows what they need. Do they need the real past life? Do they just want to see the symbol? I don't think it's even up to us. I think it's up to spirit who's providing the information. That's how I look at it. You know, spirit knows what they need. I don't know.
And then there's kind of this interesting also question I have related to this, which is that sometimes I feel like spirit is pulling, let's just say, anything I've ever read or learned or experienced in this lifetime is like in my library, like it's in my data bank. And then spirit can like pull on that out to explain something to somebody because it's in my library, but it might not be their archetypal energy. Like it might not be in their library, right? So like spirit's got to figure out like what is in both libraries that's going to resonate with both people. So I think that's really interesting. Yeah. And then sometimes though, like you were saying, like you've never seen that symbol before. And so you're just describing it. So that to me feels like you're picking up on something in their field, not necessarily spirit accessing your library, but accessing their library. And then you're just seeing it. So what do you think about that too?
I definitely see other people's libraries or I connect with. To me, that's what the Akashic Records are about. And I never knew I was working in the Akashic Records and I didn't study it because I started doing it before Linda Howe wrote her book and all that other stuff. But, and there were no certification programs, right? But what I learned, I took a couple during COVID because I thought, well, let me just see what's this about. And then I realized, oh, this is what I've been doing the whole time. So I have a different approach to the Akashic Records. But to me, that's exactly what it is, what you're talking about. I go in and I ask to be shown their records. And so I don't have to have it in my lexicon or in my knowledge base. I just go to see what they need. So that's how I do the work.
And have you ever had it happen where like somebody's past life experience that they're like there for you for, like you also have a related or similar past life in the same time frame? I had that happen once on a table and that kind of freaked me out too, is that I was like, wait a second, like this person, like I actually knew this person in another lifetime and they're here for with me for now for a healing, but like I was seeing the pyramids. I was seeing like Egypt, you know, with the pyramids. And I was seeing like, they weren't exactly flying carpets, but they were like little scooter type things, but they did fly. And then people would step on them and then they would fly around to get from place to place.
Wow.
And I was like, so that's how they did it. And then I was seeing how they were like chanting and oming. And there was something about the sound that was causing the stones to go into place. Like they would lift with the sound was doing it. Not like they weren't like, you know, as we think about it, they were like slogging and like carrying it on their backs or something, which we've proven is impossible. But like, no, it was like the sound that was lifting the stone exactly. It was directing it to where it needed to go. And that all the thousands of people chanting is what actually made that happen. So anyway, I was seeing all this crazy stuff. And then I was aware like, oh my gosh, like this person was in, you know, so I stopped looking at that stuff because I was like, if I look at that, I'm going to get so distracted during the healing. I'm going to spend my whole time just checking out somebody's past life. And then if I'm connected with it, I'm going to be like absorbed in that instead of just like focus on let's just clear the energy out. Wow, what's your feeling about all that thing I just said?
Well, two things. The first one is I've seen a lot of past lives with my friends because we've gone to look for them. Like we both were slaves in the same, you know, down south before the Civil War, we were both slaves in the same home. And we were totally cracking up because we just knew who the other person was. It was just so easy to see. It was just, and we have leftover qualities from that lifetime, which was so recent. But what I will tell you is this. 2 years ago, I wanted to do 30 readings in 30 days. And so I put a special out to my list and I did a ton of readings for people. I just wanted to see what it'd be like. And the weirdest thing happened, which was there were a lot of Roman soldiers. And I'm like, I must be making this up. Am I making this up? What, you know, I started to doubt myself. But then, you know, Spirit said, let's think about how many Roman soldiers there were, because it was hundreds of years and thousands of soldiers every year. So why wouldn't there be a bunch of Roman soldiers who would feel drawn to come to me to hear about their past lives? And so I let it go. And I thought, all right, there's a lot of Roman soldiers. And I love Rome. So that might be one of those things, ancient Rome, that you're talking about, where we all gravitated, because I could see those lives because I loved the Roman times. And I just got a Roman coin for Christmas this year, so I was so excited, with Abundantiae, the goddess of prosperity and stuff. So I think that it's possible what you're saying. I haven't had that much of a overlapping vision that I got distracted, but I can imagine how distracting that would be. So good for you for pulling yourself back.
I was like, wow, I'm getting a little too fascinated by this. Let me just pull out of your second chakra now and just clear that out. Like, I don't need to know. But that's really cool. The spirit showed me that. Thank you. I was curious about how they made those pyramids. But yeah, like, this is the fascination part. Like, we have to kind of be in the hollow bone, right? And not get so sucked in
right
to other people's stuff. So like, along those lines, you know, we are at a time of reconciling, right? Anything that's unfinished, anything that's sort of like just loose ends, you know, so we reclaim ourselves totally and we can move forward into that sovereign piece of existence and new earth. And that is an interesting job, right? It's an interesting job. And it makes me think about history in a different way. Rather than so literal, thinking about history and being upset and judging and blaming and shaming and all that kind of stuff. Like, doesn't this give us a different slice or a different take on history as a different perspective?
100%, because we've been perpetrators and we've been victims. And that's how you learn all your lessons. And it's very hard in this body, on this earth, to wrap your head around that and think, I signed up for this, no matter what it was that happened, because so many awful things happen to such wonderful people, or to, you know, whatever kind of people. It's just impossible to get, but it all has to work somehow or it wouldn't be happening. So it's not easy to get there, but that's one of the things I like about past life work is, you know, when I work with a woman who's constantly having battles with her husband and fighting over everything and she can't stand him. And then and I said, well, let's go back and look. Why is that? You know, why are you fighting with him? Let's go see what happened before, or somebody who was cheated on or something, you know, all of these things. Chances are we signed up for the experience because we needed to have a better understanding of it from that first person viewpoint.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So that is so fascinating. I think about certain individuals that I've been in contact with in my lifetime this time. And yeah, it feels like I've asked questions about, like, was this person involved in that other lifetime that I was telling you about with the Trail of Tears? And this one particular person, it's like, yes. Like, there was a huge betrayal there. And here's the interesting thing, Ronnie, is when I met this person, there was like lightning across the room. Like, it was a strange feeling. Mm-hmm. And I've never had that since. Okay. Yeah. The only person I ever had that with, where like I look across the room, the lightning across the room, and I interpret that to mean, oh my gosh, it's a soulmate. And it was only 2 decades later when I met my teacher, Alberto Vialdo. And he said, when you get that feeling, that person probably killed you in another life, or like really tremendously wronged you in some way, you know? And so I didn't know that at the time. I thought that was like what true love was or something like that. Do people get that? Like, do they share with you that they have those kind of, like, when they meet somebody like that, that there's huge heart karma and they don't even know it?
I have had that experience myself, but I will tell you that I haven't met any of my, I did meet one killer. I told you that at the start, right? One person who killed me. But it's also been, to me, recognition. I have had that many times where I recognize them. And what, like, from across the room, you just zero in on them and go, who is that person? I need to know them. But I haven't had it as dramatic as that. I'm not sure. I think it could be a variety of things. That could be one thing, though, for sure. But I know a lot of people are very interested in this twin flame situation, where that's so popular right now. And I will tell you that if you're looking at for a twin flame, you're looking at get burned. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be like a happy go lucky. It's going to be hell, learning a lot of hard lessons. And you might want to think about that before you sign up for that. So I don't encourage that at all. So I don't know. I'm not sure that it's always like that, but I have had that experience, and they were very important, pivotal relationships, mostly with women, with other women. But also, we sign up for these things. Like, the idea is that we're in the same soul pod. You know, I can't remember the name of the guy, Michael. Maybe it'll come to me. But he wrote Soul Journey. And I think that's what it's called. And he talks about life between lives, Newton, Michael Newton, Lives Between Lives, and What's It Like in a Soul Pod and whatever. And what came out from my learning was they agreed to work with us. They agreed to give us this pain. We asked them for this pain so we could learn this lesson, so we could get through whatever it was and see if we could get to that next level and get past it or get over it or learn from it or whatever it is. So the person who killed you, you probably agreed to that. I mean, it's not always true, probably, because there's no everything black and white. You know, you can't make that black and white. So sometimes there could be things that kind of came as a surprise, but I don't know how much gets planned versus how much is spontaneous.
Yeah, it's always been my question, like, is it resolved? But I feel like I arrived to the reason why that all happened through some plant medicine journeys, finally realized like, oh, okay, that was our agreement because I had to learn. Sometimes we do things in other lifetimes out of, even though we're really high integrity people and we practice really high path, we still can fall from grace because we get so devastated that we want to like punish the people that are doing these terrible things. Sure. And then we can misuse our gifts of magic against that person and all of their descendants.
Yeah. Whoops.
And then find yourself marrying them in this lifetime. You know? So, you know, whoops, that's a mistake. So, you know, we get an opportunity to see that that's not a good way to do things. And sometimes I think it takes us multiple lifetimes to figure this stuff out, you know, because it's not just like one lifetime. It might take you a dozen lifetimes to figure stuff out, you know?
Yes, I think that's very true. You probably get many opportunities to work through situations. Mm-hmm. You might not get it right the first time or the second time. And that's totally fine because that's why you're here, to learn. So you don't even have to beat yourself up over it. It's to be expected.
Yeah. And that's the other thing is like our kids come in knowing fully what the thing is. Nobody's deceived in that. Like when you're a soul, everybody knows the game plan. They're like, oh yeah, I'm going to come in and it's going to be really uncomfortable. You know, like there's going to be the War of the Roses going on. I'm going to be their kid. Okay. This is going to be fun. Let me see what I can learn from that. And, you know, then we do our best, you know,
resilience.
Yeah, we get to practice resiliency. Honesty, transparency, integrity, and then we get to forgive each other, you know, and I feel like forgiveness is reconciliation in my book, but you know, that could take another couple lifetimes. So,
or
you know,
sometimes it's just spontaneous and you just shock the heck out of yourself and let go.
It's like, oh, I mean, it's done. And it could be done for you, but not the other person. And that's okay too. It's still done. Cause it's like your curriculum doesn't depend on other people. So that's what I learned in this lifetime too. I was like, oh, I can totally forgive this and be done. Yay. I'm setting myself free. Woohoo. We're over, you know, done with that contract, done, moving on, find somebody else to play with on that one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. And goodbye. Yeah. So, I mean, but like we're all one, right, Ronnie? So like, that's what makes this whole conversation so funny to me is sometimes like we have such a hard time forgiving.
I know.
And we can hold grudges for lifetimes, but then we're actually all one. So we're just holding a grudge against part of ourselves, aren't we? I mean, isn't that?
Well, it's a little mind blowing because on Earth, it's very hard to get that 1,000 foot or 10,000 foot viewpoint. We don't have that ability that often. Some do, you know, but for the most part, we're really here and now. And so it's hard to get that incredibly higher elevation perspective to see, oh, that's okay. You know what I mean? Because right now it feels like it's not, you know, but I think that, and I hate to even get into this, but that's part of what is so distressing about how divided the U.S. is in politics, because actually, I don't want to hear either side what they have to say, but it's just so distressing to see how, like, how will we ever come together? So when I listen to all the predictions about this and that and how it's going to work, I'm like, yeah, okay. But then I have to come back to remember that this is here and going on for a reason. I don't know what it is, but I guess we're going through something and hopefully it'll work out for the best. And you have to get to that place, which is why I do not listen to the news. I cannot.
Yeah, we have to shield ourselves from programming. And
I cannot.
I mean, this is programming too, but I consider it to be positive programming. You know, so it's really like we get to choose what we want to fill our brains with, right? Like we get to choose what we're going to eat for dinner and we get to choose what we're going to give ourselves as brain food. So choose wisely. You know, yeah. Right. Finding out about your past lives might be a good idea. And getting that higher perspective might help you through the nation's current experience. probably very similar to Rome, you know, all the other empires that ever fell, you know, it's that same thing. It's like divided, you know, we fall, together we stand. That is the message it has always been. And that's I think that's probably our biggest soul lesson, right? It's like coming together. We remember it now. We're all one. Like this is this one spirit divided into millions of little pieces, billions of little pieces. I don't know how many pieces, tons. And we get to experience ourselves.
Yeah. One of the things that's to me really fascinating that I've just opened my mind up to, and people will probably laugh, but it's new for me, is the idea that, okay, and this is just Earth. So where else have you been?
Yeah. Do you ever get those kind of past lives, like on other planet kind of things, or just
Earth? I have. There was one woman who I'm like, oh, you're not from here. You're from Sirius. I don't even know where that came from, but that's why I say I don't have to know. It came from their spirit talking to me. Like one of the things that was the hardest for me to understand about who am I talking to? People say, well, who are you talking to? And I finally realized I talk to everybody else's spirit guides, you know, so it's never the same. I was couldn't understand why is it always so different or whatever. It's not consistent. Yeah, because I was talking to other people. So anyway, I found out she was from Sirius. So you just don't know how vast it is now. You know, galactic astrology has become really big. I don't understand our solar system's astrology, but now people are doing galactic. So it's amazing. There's so much more that we can't even touch. We can't even fathom. And so when you just look at the political scene, you have to think there's a bigger picture here. There's a bigger picture here.
Absolutely. Lots of lessons about forgiveness and understanding. So, well, beautiful. Is there something that people can do to get started with your work quickly? Like if they want to try, you know, read about one of your books, or if you have like a free offer or anything like that. I know you have your podcast, so I can definitely point to your podcast. Breathe Love and Magic is the podcast. I'll put the link in the show notes. But what else do you want to offer people as a way to get started with you?
So I wrote a short book called sevenpastlives.com. I mean, that's not the name of the book, but you can find it. Pastlives.com. And it's 7 ways your past lives affect your love life now. So if you're curious about how your past lives might be affecting you today in terms of love, but it might just be interesting in general, you can go there and find that and download that for free. So that's one of the things that I have to offer.
Awesome. Beautiful. I'll put that in the show notes and 7pastlives.com, everybody. And gosh, it's been a great conversation with you. I've really enjoyed it, Ronnie. What a lovely insight into your world and all that you're offering people, this realization of themselves is larger than this lifetime. And so appreciate you doing your work in the world. And I want to encourage everybody to share it out, you know, share it out with anybody that you think would be interested in resolving that pesky issue, you know, that doesn't seem to go away and has no reason to be there. And go send them over to Ronnie. And also, we're going to give you kisses. So Ronnie, I always give people kisses at the end of the show. So just little Reiki kisses. So join me if you like. But here come the kisses, everyone. We love you.
Oh, that's so beautiful. All right. Well, I'm going to send you purple sparkles because that's my
okay. Purple sparkles. Send them.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. They're joy and happiness.
Love it. Feels good.
Fun. Thank you.
All right, you guys, have a great week with your purple sparkles and your kisses, and we'll see you next week on Soul Nectar Show. Bye for now.
Thanks.
If you found even one gold nugget in this episode of Soul Nectar Show, will you do us a favor? Will you subscribe, like, and share this episode? Maybe even write a comment and let us know what you thought about it. We really, really want to engage with you at a much deeper level. Let's be part of community together. Have a great week, everyone. Bye for now. To dive in deeper to nourishing conversation, visit soulnectar.show.
Soul Nectar Show. Awaken the Soul Nectar Show. Take a sip from the drip of nectar from the source of who you are.